Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptoff, C70's bat at C70 on the Twitters. With me, as always, David Jones from iPop Editor. And it was, David, you know, about the time you start to think that maybe the Cardinals are getting a little bit of momentum, the trap door opens, you fall through the floor, and you get beat by the White Sox. And I don't know if there's any other way of putting how bad this season has gone and then to say you got beat in a series by the White Sox.
Well, I want to start off on a positive note, actually, and I want to say congratulations to you on getting a new microphone. Now on to everything else.
That's, you know, and, yeah. And people probably aren't necessarily liking that because that means they can hear me more, and that's not what they want to do. I mean, so, you know, they're hoping that this microphone has a very, very active mute button, but
yeah, we will find out. Unfortunately, that may be as positive as we get tonight. You got a new microphone and it sounds nice. This is garbage. It's just garbage baseball. I was looking at the runs scored tonight, and the Cardinals currently have 117 runs scored on the season, which is very bad. Very, very bad. That is second worst in baseball. They have fewer runs scored than the 8-25 Colorado Rockies. They have fewer runs scored than the 9-26 Miami Marlins. The only team with fewer runs is the Chicago White Sox, who took them down, took 2 out of 3 this weekend. It's just ugly, and I don't want to say I'm tired of watching it, because I enjoy watching baseball, but I'm tired of what we're seeing on the field, with the exception of a couple pitchers in the rotation of the bullpen. But other than that, this is garbage baseball.
It's been rough. There's no doubt about it that this has been a significant disappointment, for the fact that, you know, last week we were not happy because they had lost on Sunday, which they do have done all year long. This is why this show's never had an upbeat episode, I don't think. It's because they're always losing before we get a chance to record. But, you know, they'd won 2 out of 3 from the Mets. They'd won a few series. And you had the schedule getting a little easier. You had some hope in that regard. But then to go lose 2 out of 3 to Detroit and the game that you win, you could argue you shouldn't have, right? I mean, Flaherty strikes out 14 and you wind up scratching together a couple of runs very, very late. You lose the other two. Then you lose 2 out of 3 to the White Sox. There's just it's very difficult to be very optimistic about this team. You know, and that being said, it's a conversation we started before we got on air, and we'll continue here. What has to change? Because it really does feel like we're getting to that point that something has to give, right? I mean, Mo spent a lot of time last year arguing for patience, that things are going to get better, and just be patient and things will turn around. And I understand why he was saying that, but, you know, it never did. Right. And we're hearing a little bit of the same mantra now. And this season's better than last season. There's more optimism. There's more things that are going right. But that's just a low bar to clear. I don't know how much more you can preach patience on a situation that just doesn't look like it's going anywhere, just like last year.
Yeah, I agree. It doesn't look like it's going anywhere. We haven't seen this team go anywhere since that Phillies series in the playoffs that they actually got to. Since then, it's kind of been a dumpster fire. You know, occasionally you get the series win here and there, but we're not seeing the Cardinals sweep teams. We're not seeing them win on Sundays. It's just been terrible. And what's really scary to me, too, if you look at the Pythagorean theorem that's used for, you know, expected wins and losses, if you go by that, Bill James would have them at 13-20 on expected wins and losses, which means they're actually their record is probably a little bit better than it should be. If you look at strength of schedule right now, the Cardinals are 22nd. So they've had an easier schedule than over half of the teams in baseball right now. So they may be lucky to be in the position that they're in, but you say, you know, what needs to change? It sounds like I'm dumbing this down, but it's kind of like a see the ball, hit the ball. You mentioned patience, and I think it's worn off for the fans. Sometimes I wish it would wear off for the players, because it seems like we're seeing them watch 94 down the middle and they just see the ball go by And then they get a slider off the plate and can't touch it, but they swing at it anyway. This team has been bad. I heard Danny Mac mention on the radio last week that this team's hitting about 200 against forcing fastballs. Now, Paul Goldschmidt, which he's having a very weird year, he's actually hitting fastballs very well. It's the off-speed stuff he can't touch. But the rest of the team cannot hit a forcing fastball. That should be the easiest pitch for any major leaguer to hit, and the Cardinals just can't do it. And because of that, we're just seeing some terrible baseball out there. We're seeing guys in the lineup every day that have averages under 200.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, it's not that things are going to be better because there's somebody on the bench. It's not a managerial issue, right? I mean, so there are times in the past where it's been, the Cardinals are like, well, they're struggling, but why aren't you playing this player? Why is he sitting on the bench when he's the one that's hitting and you're still out there playing this regular? That's not the case, right? I mean, I don't think for all the problems that this team has, it's difficult to credit Ollie Marmolo as one of them, at least from what we're seeing, right? There have been a couple of questionable times. I know Dayton Perry wrote about some problems that Ollie had in that Mets series that kind of snowballed a little bit. But even on the whole, we're seeing him do a fairly good job of the in-game stuff. We're not seeing, you know, crazy lineups to the most part. We're not seeing, you know, questionable calls that, you know, maybe he should have taken Lance Lynn out a little bit faster against the White Sox. But, you know, for the most part, I don't think you're going to blame this on what's going on in the dugout. This is all on the players and most notably the hitters. And I don't know what you do. I don't know if it's, you know, we always talk online about these, you know, just weird motivational things like, you know, draw a lineup out of a hat, see what happens. You know, I don't know if they need to loosen up or something like that, or if they just have to. It just doesn't feel like keep doing what you're doing is a real great idea.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And, I was thinking about if I could point to some of the mistakes that Ollie has made this year. And I feel like I could. Now, someone would probably say I'm way wrong on this, but I feel like you could like count them on one hand. Like there's some isolated ones that stick out to me. One was just recently in the White Sox game, the second game of the doubleheader. I felt like the bullpen was used kind of weird, almost like when the Cardinals got down by three runs, or four runs or whatever it was. They kind of thought, okay, this is over. Let's just kind of get through the game. And then the Cardinals came back and they stuck with that mentality and ended up losing the game. So there were some, I had some issues with that, but I'm having to think really hard to think about where has he messed up, because his handling of Matthew Liberatore this year has been tremendous. Liberatore has been great. He's excelled in the position he's in. You look at Kittredge, Romero, Helsley, you can't complain about how they've used them. And then the other guys that are used in the bullpen are kind of just used out of necessity because they don't have the other guys healthy or they don't have the other guys available. So it's tough to be critical of him and how he's done that. I think he's done a really good job for the most part. The lineup, I mean, other than maybe Contreras, no one is hitting. No one's hitting their normal numbers, so you can shake it up all you want, and he has some, but nobody's hitting. So it's not like you can take the hot hand and put the hot hand at one or put the hot hand at three or whatever it's going to be. Just no one is doing anything. And then when you don't really have other, you know, it's changing now, but when you really don't have a backup center fielder and you're kind of on your third string center fielder or fourth string, you don't have many options. You can't switch things up too much. You can't insert guys. Brandon Crawford's not doing anything. Matt Carpenter hasn't been healthy. His hands are kind of tied in what he does with the lineup. I mean, he can adjust the guys, switch the order around, but he's pretty much got to play the same guys every day because there aren't many options right now.
No, there's really not. You know, that bench is a little bit weaker, although we did see, you know, Dylan Carlson get activated today and Pedro Pajes go down. So they're down to the just two catchers, which is, you know, I don't know. Catcher's been one of the most productive out positions, as we've talked about. So maybe you need to go get some more of them. But so we'll see if that helps a little bit. We'll see if, you know, I think we've all wanted to see what Dylan Carlson can do on an extended run, and there does not seem to be any indication that Tommy Edman's going to be coming back anytime soon. That really feels like All-Star break is kind of optimistic by now. But yeah, I agree. I think it's just, you know, I think it is a little bit, and I don't know who's to blame on this one, right? We see him start, as you said, they've used Matthew Liberatore very well this year, but then they move him into a start, and he did fine today, and Leahy did fine behind him, and then the rest of them not as much. But it still seems very strange to take a guy that you haven't been starting and start him because you know it's basically a bullpen game at that point, right? I mean, it's at most he's going to go probably three or a little bit over innings. Why do you think the Cardinals went that route instead of, because Steven Matz is going to be out for a while, they're going to have to do something else probably the next time out, instead of going to get somebody out of Triple A that at least is prepared to start and or leave Kyle Gibson where he was, the idea of him pitching Sunday. So at least, if nothing else, you'd have a pretty good chance of getting a series win.
I'm with you on this. And that this was one of the head scratches that I had. And I didn't bring it up when I was talking about Marmol's decisions because I'm not sure who made the decision.
Yeah.
I would almost guess it came from someone above him. And so it does make me curious because, yes, you do have some time off, but it feels like you've kind of depleted the bullpen when you may not have had to. Now, one could argue there's a chance that Matz comes back for his next start, so this was just a temporary Band-Aid, but I don't know if that's going to happen. I think that they would have been better just going ahead and putting him on the IL, especially if we're talking about back issues, because as we know with the Cardinals, if it's a back issue, they're done for a couple months. I don't know how he heard it. Maybe he was deadlifting as well. But it was just a little bit odd that they did not bring somebody up to fill in the spot today. I think if you're actually trying to look long term, you would rather, especially if you know in hindsight, if you're going to get the loss, you'd rather waste somebody from Memphis than your bullpen. But it's a choice they made, and Liberatore looked good. He did what he needed to do, and he should have pitched well enough for the Cardinals to get a win. Him and the guys that followed him, minus Gallegos, but the offense can't do a thing. So it didn't matter who they were throwing out there today. They were not winning this game.
Yeah, and that's the problem, right? I mean, you're going up against a White Sox team that has struggled all year long, had one win on the road before they came into St. Louis and then took two of three. And granted, it seemed like everybody on the White Sox was a former Cardinal, so maybe they were perfectly at home at Busch Stadium. But still, you would like to think that you could do something about it. I mean, their pitchers were no great shakes. They should have been able to at least have some success. I'm not saying you're going to put up 10 runs on them or anything like that, but they should have had enough success to win, low scoring games. And they had some, right? And I guess that's the frustrating thing, especially when you look at yesterday's game, besides the whole having a 4-hour rain delay for two pitches or four pitches to end it, but more the fact that the Cardinals, came back and scored five runs and took a 2-run lead and they couldn't hold it. And I think that's, that's a little bit frustrating as well, right? Because the few times that the Cardinals have had some sort of offense, it feels like that's the time when the pitching staff betrays them.
Absolutely. And I know the talk after that game was C.B. Buckner. And yes, that call was absolutely terrible. However, if your guys before Herrera actually do something, you're not talking about C.B. Buckner. If you have bases loaded, nobody out, all you need is one run to tie, and they could not get a single run across. That game should have been won before Gorman/Herrera ever came to the plate. Right. But they could not get the little things done, and that's what we've seen all year. This team does not do the little things right, at least at the plate. Now, defense, base running, yes, those things have been great, much improved this year. But this offense is just failing in what they need to be doing. And that should have been a win. That definitely should have been a win. They were in position to do that, or at least to extend the game, but they couldn't do it. And they had the guys up that should have done it. I just feel like we've seen that all year round. And it feels like a lot of times with this team now, if they get up two runs in the first inning, or they get up, or they're down, I should say, 3-0 after two or three innings, you can just turn the game off. Maybe there's a chance they come back, and we have seen them come back, but then we've seen them lose games right after that. So, it is bad baseball, with the exception of a few players here and there, but nobody on the offensive side of the ball is just on fire right now. It's terrible to watch.
So we're not exactly being optimistic about the future here either, because it's like I said, we can't. There's not a thing that you could point to and say this needs to fix, right? I think there's been times in the past where you're like, hey, if you don't have Tommy Edman in your leadoff spot, or if you don't have such and such hitting fifth, you know, Matt Carpenter when he was struggling back, you know, years ago, it's like those kind of things. If you fix those, maybe you can get that offense to start to click. But there doesn't seem to be that kind of issue because it's all the way up and down the lineup. So it's very difficult to see how this turns around. Now, for all that, you know, if the Cardinals win tomorrow and the Reds and Pirates lose, they're in third place, right? So it's still not great, but it's still probably a little early to, you know, wave any white flags. And that's, I think that gets to what the front office has got to do, right? I think they're at a point where they can still do something, whatever that may be, to get this team maybe jolted, maybe kind of course correct, do something else. But if they wait until June or whatever the case may be to start looking at, you know, what can we do to improve this team, it won't be there because they'll have, you know, squandered another 5 weeks and they'll be 10 games out and we're going to be looking at a trade deadline that's a sell again. I'm not saying that they have to go and do what the Padres did and go out and get, you know, a second baseman or, you know, something on the free agent market like that. But it does feel like, you know, maybe you look at seeing what kind of free agents are out there or what kind of maybe lesser trade that you can make just to bring somebody in. Somebody, maybe it is, you know, we've talked about the veterans and all that kind of stuff, but maybe there's somebody that can actually help this team right now. I don't know. And I'm sure they're not going to look at that because that's just not the way that they approach these things. But it feels like that's maybe one of the few things they can do to kind of, you know, change the dynamic around the club.
Maybe, but I don't think they will, because this team is made up of old veterans who they want to hang on to for, you know, leadership, or because their contracts are huge, or it's made up of who they see as their future. Guys are not going to want to give up for anything. So I don't think there's anybody that's sitting on that roster who fits the type of player that they'd be willing to give up. I don't think they have guys at Memphis or Springfield that they'd be willing to give up. The Cardinals came into this season seeming like they wanted to have 4 second basemen just so they could stockpile them. Kind of like they went to an auction and got as many as they could or something. It's kind of like a hoarder. But it just doesn't fit their MO as with what they do. And so I don't see it happening. And, you know, I'm looking at this team 4 games under 500. They are basically a 500 team since that LA series to start the season. Mm-hmm. I don't think we should expect them to be any better. Now, should they be better? Yes. But at this point, this is who they are. I'm not expecting anything from them any more than this. I expect them to be a round of 500 ball club for the rest of the season, probably dipping even a little bit below that in the second half. But I think this is who they are. I don't think it's in right now. Yes, the batting averages are really low and things like that, but I don't know if it's an anomaly right now, their record. I actually think it's like, you know, the expected wins and losses show. I think their record's probably better than it should be. Until we get a couple guys to catch fire, I don't think we can expect anything any differently. I remember it was 2 or 3 seasons ago, Cardinals started off, things were pretty rough, and they went to Milwaukee, and there was a series where Paul Goldschmidt just put the team on his back. I think it was like 4 home runs in 3 games or something like that, and no one else was hitting, but he put the team on his back, and he got the Cardinals back into it and lit a fire under the team. Maybe that can happen with somebody, but no one right now is showing any life of that. This is who they are. And I don't think we're going to see any trades that are going to shake the team up. I think the only thing we might see are some deadline deals. And if we're honest, the Cardinals don't really have the players to deal at this deadline like they did at the previous deadline. So they're not even going to get as much back as they did last year.
No, I mean, you know, even if you want to say, hey, they can trade Paul Goldschmidt, unless he changes significantly, there's not going to be that demand for him, right? And even so, a veteran, an aging veteran like that at the deadline will get you something, but it won't get you that haul that you kind of think it should. Even last year, if they traded him last year, it wouldn't have done that. So they might get something there. And, you know, could you see them decide they want to try to tear it all down, trade a Nolan Arenado, do stuff? I don't think so, but, you know, who knows? But it's going to take it's going to take probably quantity over quality again. I mean, the Cardinals did a very good job at the last trade deadline getting some pieces in that help, but except for maybe Tekoa Roby, Sagasy has turned into that a little bit, maybe, but nobody was one of those, you know, top prospects. You're not, you know, didn't expect a lot. They were quality players and people that can still help this team, but not necessarily your, you know, breaking the bank or anything of that nature. And like you said, the people that are available this year are lesser of quality as well. So, you know, I don't know. I just, it feels like there's got to be something. We've talked in the past about the shakeup that went around Mike Matheny's staff, you know, in the early May of a few years ago. And it just feels like there's something that the Cardinals need to do. If nothing else, they need to change the narrative around the team, right? Because there's not anything going on that's positive around this team. And, you know, again, I don't want to call for anybody's job, and because that is a significant change in you know, a person's life, plus the family that's relying on him. But you also think that, hey, maybe something can come out of it. I don't know. But I just feel like if we go through another week like this, I mean, the Cardinals have the Brewers at the end of this week. And, you know, this team can't hang with the Brewers right now, or at least not the way they've been playing. And if they lose even 3 of 4 to the Brewers this weekend, you start wondering how are they ever going to catch them, right? Because that would have been, they've already gotten swept by them once, so that'd be 6 of 7 if they lost, even if they just pull out one, which, I mean, Sonny Gray, I don't know if he pitches in that series or not, probably does, but, you know, it's just, you got to have a very good weekend if you want to stay in this, and I think that could be pretty telling of what the season's going to be like if, and you don't want to say it's over by the end, you know, by the end of the second week of May, but you may get a real good feel that it is.
Yeah, I'm like you. I don't like calling for people's jobs when we don't know the full story, especially when we're just really talking. We're talking baseball. We're not talking about like personal life or scandal or anything like that. So it's tough to know. And the players today were very quick to defend Turner Ward and the staff and say the problem is on us, not them. They've put us in the position to succeed. But somebody with some power needs to figure out what the issue is. If it is the coaching staff, if it is the hitting staff, they need to figure out what's going on and bring about some type of change. And I don't necessarily mean change of jobs, although maybe that could be it, but something needs to be done. Now, if this is one of those things that kind of is an organizational issue that came from the DeWitts and they implemented it, well, then everybody's probably screwed because you can't fire the owner. And I don't want to see somebody be the scapegoat because ownership or front office made a bunch of mistakes and that the team is now paying for it and the fans are paying for it. It's just, I hate that when someone makes a mistake and then they fire somebody to cover up for themselves. I don't want to see that either, but something has to happen. We're into the definition of insanity here where we're doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Something needs to be done because this is not working. And it's not that it just hasn't been working for 34 games. We're talking about a season and a third as well as spring training where this just isn't working. This offense should be so much better than it is, and it continues to struggle. Something has to happen.
You would think so. You would think so. And maybe this will be an interesting week. If it's not, it may be a telling week. And again, you know, it is so difficult to know if a change, if a shakeup would do you any good. I mean, maybe it's just new eyes on it, but you know, there's a, you know, the hitting coaches don't go and hit the ball. You know, they can tell them how to do it, but unless they're, and I doubt they're telling them, hey, look, you know, that meat pitch in the middle of the zone, just leave it alone and wait for the slider. I don't think that's the approach that they're giving them. That's just the way it looks like. So you'd like to think that, you know, it may not matter much, but again, it's so hard. I mean, because that does feel like the fix in baseball is, oh, we'll switch something. We'll switch a manager. We'll switch a coach. But I don't know how. I would bet 9 times out of 10, it doesn't really make any difference. It might change something for, you know, you might get a little bit of a jolt. You might get a couple of games where people are a little bit more motivated or focused. But a long-term thing, I don't know that it works.
Yeah, and in sports like hockey, football where there's a little more scheming going on, X's and O's and things like that, I can see it making more of a difference. Especially, you know, if you have a bad defense and football, you know, if you need to get a new defensive coordinator in there and things like that, if you're not using your personnel right. Baseball is, even though it's a team sport, it's more of an isolated sport. And managers today have fewer decisions to make than ever before. With the DH being implemented and some of the rule changes, the three batter minimum, strategy is not being used like it used to. And really, I mean, filling out a lineup card, you mentioned, you know, drawing names from a hat, sometimes you can get the same results. It's, you know, some studies have shown that the order of the lineup plays very, very minimal. I guess the results are minimal when it comes to the impact it has. So, you know, there's part of me when I watch these games, I'm just like, yeah, fire everybody, clean house, let's start over. But I don't think that's necessarily the answer here, because this really does not seem to be at least the manager's issue. Is it the coaches? Maybe. I don't know. But, you know, things are rough when people are starting to look back and miss Jeff Albert when many of the same fans drove him out of town.
Yeah. And, you know, there's an indication that when Jeff Albert left, he took some of the hitting philosophy with him. When you look at pulled fly balls, I think, and probably everybody has seen those stats that have been floating around for the last week or so. If not, I think Blake Newberry has an article up at Viva that talks about it at some. But yeah, I mean, there was that idea that, you know, and but there was, that's the problem, right? I mean, the idea that Turner Ward was going to continue what Jeff Albert was doing. Well, if he does, he doesn't know how to, you know, sometimes it's not easy to take what somebody has created and then apply it yourself. And maybe that's the situation, but you're not going to get Jeff Albert. Jeff Albert is not walking back through that door ever again, if he can help it. I don't think he's even going to come when the Mets come this weekend. I think he's just going to stay there. So I you know, what do you do? And then, you know, if you do have another lost season, you know, what can you do this winter to fix it? I mean, that's not a situation we need to get to now, because we're getting close to the end of wrapping it up. But I've seen some people talk about, you know, look, the minor leagues have prospects, but not necessarily high end prospects. You know, it's going to take development from guys like Walker and Wynn and others to that we're not seeing just 100% yet. Hopefully we continue to see that. And, you know, you've got a lot of money sunk into like Arenado and others in these pitching staff. So, you know, could this be a, you know, could we be in a fallow kind of like the 70s or something like that? I don't know that you can rule that out just yet. I mean, as much as we've gotten used to winning every year and seeing the Cardinals be successful at some, you know, some level, whether it's, you know, going to the playoffs or being just, you know, at least in the hunt, you know, none of us really remember significantly down times, right? I mean, the early 90s is probably the last time you could talk about that, that we're having more than, you know, 1 year down. And I think it's a possibility we're starting to see that, you know, that cycle that we didn't think was a cycle that we thought the kind of the Cardinals had broken, it may be coming around again.
It very well might be. And the Cardinals, for the first time in a while, it seems like they don't have a superstar. They've got guys that were once superstars. They have one or two players who might have the potential to be superstars, but they right now, they're without a superstar. They've got some good players, but they don't have that guy, like I said, that can just carry the team, the guy that you know is going to come through in the clutch. They don't have anybody who's hitting the ball out of the ballpark regularly, with the exception of maybe Contreras. They're lacking that superstar power right now and that superstar punch. And when you start lacking that and you just have a team of good players and some above average players, you find yourself starting to sink into that hole of where you're just a mediocre team who doesn't make the playoffs, but also doesn't get high draft picks. And I think that can lead to a dark time like the 70s and some of the time in the early 90s before Tony La Russa came around. I am a little worried that that is where we're heading, because when you build a team with so many old guys and then also have so many young guys, there is a gap there. The Cardinals don't seem to have a lot of players in that 25 to 29 range. They have a few, but not a ton. And so when that's lacking, I feel like they are setting themselves up for a hole to come in the next couple of years.
Well, and some of the players that they have in that range haven't had a chance to establish themselves for whatever reason, you know, whether it's, you know, cause you're getting into the Dylan Carlson's age right there, but, and he's had, you know, had some injuries, came up during COVID, and some of it's on him. Some of that's not just how he was used, but there's a lot of different things that are going on in those guys. And I think that's the key, right? We haven't seen this group of young players that we thought was going to be so great take that next step, at least not as a whole. Maybe that's still coming, or maybe that's an indictment of what the Cardinals are doing at a development stage in the higher levels. I don't know. Hopefully there's more to come for those guys, but it's not guaranteed for sure. And if you see more than, you know, a prospect can fail, but if you have three or four big time prospects and none of them reach their potential, then I think you got to start looking at your system a little bit. So, you talked about power and not having any. I did a proration a while ago of home runs, and if they hit home runs at the rate they're hitting home runs right now, it's 110 for the season. You know, some teams are going to probably have that at the All-Star break. So, you know, hopefully it's not that bad. Hopefully, you know, I do feel like the offense is probably going to come around some. If nothing else, you know, if you want to go to the old baseball cliche of the warmer weather and the ball carrying, that may help a little bit, but it's difficult to say that it's going to be something significant.
Ooh, yeah. I'm just thinking 110 home runs. I believe that in 2004, Albert Pujols, Scott Rolen, and Jim Edmonds had more than that combined.
So, that's a good possibility. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah. Yeah. Sure enough. Yikes. Yeah, you know, the funny thing is I do hear people bring up the whole Busch Stadium thing, but the Cardinals have played a lot of their games on the road too.
Yeah.
And so they're playing where other teams are playing. And, you know, contrary to what they may claim, I don't think they're turning on the fans and blowing the ball back in like they used to do back in the stadiums in some of the old days. It's just not good. And, you know, I don't even know if this even makes sense, but it's like at this point, if the Cardinals lost a game like 10-8, at least you would have something enjoyable, some runs to watch. Like, right. I mean, when you're losing a game 5-1 and you get four hits, you're not giving us much to watch. There's nothing entertaining about that. A 10-8 loss, at least maybe you see some balls fly out of the ballpark or something, or you get your hopes up. But yeah, they get down 5-1 in the late innings today, and it's like, nope, turn this off. If they can't even get guys on base, forget it. So. Yeah. Yeah, that's what we're dealing with this year. It does feel historically bad. I don't want to be prisoner of the moment just because it's happening right now. But yeah, when you look at a lot of the numbers, it is historically bad as far as what they're doing, especially the StatCast era.
Of course, that's not a very large era, but it's getting larger all the time. I think we're getting closer to 10 years on that now. So it's definitely not a situation we've been having to deal with. But hopefully they'll change course. We'll see how that goes. Maybe next week we can do a show after a win. That would be really, really cool, especially since they're playing the Brewers this coming weekend. But I don't know that either one of us is going to hold our breath on that. So until then, for David, I'm Daniel. Good night.
Alisea, the second for one, the double play. What a double play by Ozzie Smith. Oh, mercy.